A message I have on my heart this morning is a very serious one. Preachers, if their hearts are out with the Lord, don't just deliver sermons. They really deliver their souls if they're truly following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I believe I have the direction from the Lord about what to preach to you about this morning. There's a two-pronged message here. The first part's going to be to those of you who have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you know that your sins have been forgiven, and you're looking forward to the day you'll stand before Him. And then the second part's going to be those who may be here, and you don't have the promise of heaven. If you've done any personal work with folks, if you've asked many people about their soul, you'll know when you put forth that question to them, do you know if you would go to heaven when you die, you get a range of answers. Some folks will tell you that they hope they go to heaven when they die. Some will tell you that they're just not sure about it. Some have the idea if their good works outweigh their bad works, then that'll get them into heaven. And if they've done more bad than good, they're going to have to go to hell. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that at all. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches that you can know before you die where you're going after you die. Now, if there's anything, folks, you should want to be sure about, it's where you're going to spend eternity. Can anybody here think of anything more important than where you're going to live forever? Only two places. Scripture doesn't know of any intermediate place. It's either in heaven with the Lord and the saints, or it's in hell with the devil and his angels. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read one verse as a springboard, and we're going to be going to some other places. And if you can't follow along there in your Bibles, then at least maybe write the references down. Hebrews chapter 4, one verse, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 7. The Bible says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, quote, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I pray that this next few moments, the Holy Spirit would be permitted to work freely. May we not hinder his work. May we not be a distraction. I pray that a reverence would come over the house this morning and a real sense of your presence here. And I pray your word would do what only it can do, and that's to pierce to the heart, to the soul, to the spirit. And I pray you'd help me to be the instrument through which you speak your word to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about procrastination this morning. Anybody here have trouble with that? Putting things off to a later date? Some of you folks look just as guilty as sin, I can tell you. We had one of you was honest enough to raise your hand, and I appreciate that, Katie. I'm in the same boat with you there on a lot of things. Sometimes procrastination gets you in trouble. Sometimes it's small consequence. Sometimes it can be of great consequence. I read of a certain case where a patient had gone to her counselor or psychologist, and she said, doctor, do you have any books maybe that you've written about overcoming procrastination? And he said, yes, I do, but I haven't written it yet. You'll get it. Just stay tuned. Putting it off. Saying I'll do it later. Some things in life, folks, you can get away with that, and it won't cost you too much. But there's two areas I want to talk about this morning that you cannot afford to put off. There's certain things you just can't say later too. There's certain things that must be taken care of now, immediately. That verse we just read makes that very clear, and if you still have your Bible open there, you might want to glance at the verse again, verse 7, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, don't put it off. If God speaks to you about something, obey and obey instantly. Delayed obedience, folks, is really disobedience. I want to talk to both groups of folks here this morning, and I don't think I've ever been so serious in my knowledge and my conviction that I'm speaking on just exactly what God wants me to say, and I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. The Lord's brought some things together in anticipation of this service this morning, and I'm thankful when he does it like that. I wonder how many souls now, countless souls now, while we're sitting here, are in hell because in their own hearts and minds, their attitude was toward salvation and toward Jesus Christ, not now. They would not say, I don't want Christ. I don't believe in that business about being saved, heaven and hell. It's all a fairy tale, you know, the pie in the sky and all that. They wouldn't say it like that, but what they would say is, I'll deal with that later. If you've dealt with folks about their soul, haven't you heard that before? Haven't you heard something like that? Not now. Not quite ready yet. A fellow told me one time, I've got to get some things straightened out in my life first, and then I'll come to Christ. Well, the truth is, you can't get anything straightened out until after you come to Christ. Amen. Salvation is not about getting everything cleaned up and getting everything right and then coming to Christ. Salvation is recognizing that you are wrong and you can't do anything to help your situation, and Christ is the only hope you have in this world. Some people put it off. Some people say later. Of all the devil's tricks and all the devil's arrows, the Bible does say that the devil has those fiery darts. Of all the most destructive things that Satan has in his arsenal, I would say that one probably has doomed and damned more souls than anything else, the temptation to just put it off. Not today. Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe the Sunday after that. Maybe the Sunday after that. I'll take care of it before I die. I'll get right with the Lord. I know I should. I'll take care of it. Procrastination. I want to give you some scripture examples of what procrastination can cost you. First of all, I want to talk about what it means to procrastinate in the life of a Christian. Those of you folks here this morning, you know Christ has saved you. You know that you're going to heaven when you die. I can't stress enough how important it is when God gives you a clear demand, when God gives you a clear assignment, when God very clearly makes His will known to you. It is of the absolute importance that you obey Him immediately. I don't know your hearts. I haven't been reading your mail. I haven't been looking in your windows. But maybe somebody's here that God's spoken to you about doing something. Maybe God's put something on your heart that you know you ought to do, and you've rationalized it that now's not the best time to do it, but I'll do it. Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it after the new year, maybe. After the new year, we're going to start all over again. I'll do it then, Lord. Maybe God's leading you to do something even in our church here. Maybe some service that He's put on your heart and you know you ought to do it, but you just not now. Maybe it's talking to somebody about Christ. Maybe you know you ought to be a witness, but just not now. There's a great danger in putting it off. When the Lord gives a command, He expects obedience, and He expects it now. Folks, God's not playing hide and seek with His will. He's not playing hide and seek with His children. He's made Himself known to us, and He's made His will very clear to us. Nobody here has to wonder whether or not God has a plan for your life. He's told you in the book of Jeremiah. He said, I know the thoughts I think toward you. I know what I desire for your life. He's made that known to you if you're a Christian, but have you obeyed? I'm not going to give you a list here this morning of everything that God could speak to a Christian about, but some of you, God's talked to you about sharing your testimony before, and you never shared your testimony, just the thought of it, you almost turn inside out with fear. I can't talk. I could never share my testimony. Maybe you've put it off. Maybe you've procrastinated. Maybe there's a decision in your family you ought to make. Maybe there's a relationship you ought to mend. Maybe there's something you ought to take care of, and you know you ought to take care of it, but what you're saying to the Lord is, not now. I don't know what it could be. I don't know what it is God may be speaking to you Christians about. Something you ought to do, and you know you ought to do it, but you just haven't done it. In preparation for this message, I made a little list here. I want you to give me your attention for a few moments. There's some dangers in delay. Again, I'm talking about those of you who know Christ as your Savior here now. Those of you who know that you've trusted the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins. When Jesus Christ speaks to you, there's only one of three answers you can give Him. If you're a believer, when God speaks to you about something, Only one of three answers you give the Lord. Number one, you can say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And you do it. That's the way it ought to be. The second option is, no, Lord, I just can't do that. Some of you said no. But I would say by far, most of us fall into the third category. We cannot say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, obey instantly. We won't say, no, Lord, I won't do it at all. But here's where most Christians fall. Number three, we'll say, not now, Lord. I know it's right, but just not now. Some of you have got the guilt look all over your face. Amen? I've done it. Folks, listen, I'm not throwing darts down from a self-righteous mountain trying to indict everybody. I know what it's like. We wouldn't say, no, Lord, I'm just not going to do that. And we don't have the desire to do it instantly, so we say, just not now. And we think that that's good enough. The Lord will understand. But there's dangers in that. You know, if you answer either the second way or the third way, if you say no, Lord, or not now, Lord, you know you have no right to even call him Lord. If he is your Lord, you will obey what he says. Luke 6:46, remember what it said? Jesus said, Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, and you do not the things which I say? If you call Jesus Christ Lord, but you don't obey him, he's not really your Lord. He may be your Savior, but you can't call him your Lord. Now, there's four dangers. I'll be quick. There's four dangers for a Christian who delays in obeying God. Number one, when you fail to obey God immediately, you know what you're saying? You're saying your judgment is better than God's judgment. When you fail to obey God instantly, you're saying, now you're thinking to yourself, I would never make a statement like that. You may not say it that way, but when we don't obey the Lord instantly, what we're saying is, we know of a better time it should be done. Our judgment's better than the Lord's judgment. Anybody want to stand up and take that on? You'd shudder at the thought, wouldn't you? Who in their right mind would stand up and say, God, I'm smarter than you are? You wouldn't say that, would you? But that's what you say. When we don't obey the Lord, when we say, not now, Lord, what we are saying with our actions is simply this, Lord, I know better than you. I know the best time to do this, and it's not now. That's the first danger. You're putting yourself above God, and that's a dangerous place to put yourself. Because there was a fellow who tried that sometime before Adam and Eve were ever made. You know who I'm talking about? There was a fellow back there in eternity past who one day he looked and he said within his heart, I will exalt my throne above the very throne of God. You and I know him as Satan. We know him as Lucifer. We know him as the devil. He said, I can do a better job of God in running this thing. And remember what God did to him. God cast him down. And he prepared a place called hell for him. Now, I hope you know I'm saying this from a heart that loves you, folks. I've been here almost 10 years. I'm not just a newcomer. I know you folks. I love you folks. You're some of the best people in the world here. But think through your actions. When you say, not now, Lord, you're saying to him, I'm smarter than you are. I know when the best way and the best time to do it, Lord. I think I'll do it my way. And you don't want to make that statement. You may be smarter than a lot of folks you're around, but you're not smarter than the Lord. Nobody here can make that claim. That's the first danger in delay. You're saying to the Lord, my judgment's better. Here's the second danger. When you don't obey the Lord quickly, you rob yourself of a blessing. Isn't it foolish for a man to steal from himself? It's bad enough to steal from somebody else, but you have to be a fool indeed to steal from yourself. And when you don't obey the Lord's voice, you know what you're doing? You are robbing yourself of the blessing that comes from obedience. Amen. There are blessings for obedience. Do you realize that, folks?
Amen.
God blesses those who obey him. And so when we don't obey him, we are shutting off the channel of God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I need all the blessing I can get. I'm very selfish in that department. I want every blessing that God wants me to have. But when I say, not now, Lord, I'm saying, I don't want your blessing. Just mark me off that list, Lord. Here's the third danger of delaying. I want you to get this, folks. When you delay in obeying the Lord, you miss opportunities that you may never get again. Have you ever been, has the Lord ever told you to witness to somebody? Has the Lord ever said, you need to talk to that person about their soul? And you said, not now. Do you know what? Even God himself will not turn back the hands of time to give you that same opportunity again. Now, God may bring that person back into your path, and you ought to pray that he does. But even if God were to bring that very same person back into your path, the condition of that person's heart and the condition of your heart is never going to be exactly the same way it was when God told you to do it the first time. I'm not going to use her name here, but I want to give her story. And she's here this morning, and she won't mind me using her as an example. But there's a lady in this service right now that told me a story of her brother. He was in the hospital, very, very sick. I mean, nigh unto death, critical. Just as far as the doctors knew at that time, just maybe hours to live. And she was concerned about his soul, and she prayed for him. And she told me that she went outside of his hospital room, and she said, I knew it just as if God had stood behind me and said it to my ear, I'm to go back in and talk to my brother. Mm-hmm. And she said, I went back in the hospital room, talked to my brother, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. She could have said, not now. Mm-hmm. So she could have said. She could have said, not now. What if she had said, not now? What if she had said, not now, Lord, I'll be back to visit him tomorrow, I'll tell him tomorrow. She would never got that opportunity again. Let's say she could have come back the next day and her brother had still been alive. Let's say that would have worked. You know what would not be the same, however, was the condition of his heart at that time. His condition changed very shortly after that, and coupled with the medicine they gave him, his mental processes wouldn't have been as strong as they were when God told her to talk to him the first time. How many of you see what I mean when you talk about the danger of delaying? It's nothing to joke with, folks. You rob yourself of a blessing. You never get the same opportunity again. Probably the most frightful thing at all. When you don't obey the Lord quickly, you put a chain reaction into motion, and you don't know where that chain is going to lead. You don't know what your disobedience may do to the next person. You don't understand what the effect may be upon your family or your friends or your church. Whoever it may be, your disobedience does not just affect you. I want to give you a Bible example here. Remember Elijah, the prophet? God told him to go and dwell by the brook Cherith, and Elijah went there, and God brought him his meals twice a day in the mouth of birds. What you call fast food. And those ravens brought over his food every morning and every evening, and the ravens dropped the food down out of their mouth, and Elijah ate that food, and he drank of that brook, and God sustained him for quite a time there. But then the day came when there was no rain, and the river started drying up, and God said, Elijah, you got to leave here. Go to this town, and you get to that town, I've got a widow woman over there. She's going to sustain you, and you can live with her until the famine is over. Remember this story? So he goes instantly. I mean, he packs up right then. He goes to that town. Guess who he finds outside gathering sticks? He finds that woman. He says to that woman, bake me a cake. God sent me to you. And her answer to him was, I don't have enough food to feed myself and my son, and you're asking us to bake you a cake. She said to him, I'm about to make the last meal we're going to have, and then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. Now I want you to connect the dots. What if Elijah had said to the Lord, I'll go, but not now? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't he have been affecting that widow woman who was over there? You see, God not only sustained Elijah through the famine. Listen, folks. He also sustained that widow woman and her son through the famine because she was doing what God told her to do. What a mess that woman would have been in had Elijah not obeyed the Lord. And we're so selfish. We think when we say something to God, when we delay to obey God, we don't think of what it may do to others, but you'll set things in motion that you don't know where it may lead. The best thing you can do for your family, The very best thing you can do for the people you love is to obey the Lord quickly. That's the best thing you can do for them.
Amen.
You bring God's blessing upon you and your whole family. Now, I'm sure there could be more things added there. That's all I want to say to those of you who are know Christ as your Savior. When God comes and gives you an opportunity to serve Him, you ought to serve Him, and you ought to do it now. It's great danger in not. But now I want to turn my thoughts to those of you dear folks who may be here or who may listen to this message as we send it out all over the world through the internet. I don't know who may be listening now. But I want to talk to you folks who may be here this morning and you may not know that your sins have been forgiven. You may not know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die. I don't think there's anybody here. I don't believe there's anybody here who would stand up and say, I don't want God. I don't need God. I'm just fine going to hell. Leave me alone. I don't believe anybody would say that here. But I believe that maybe somebody here, I don't know. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but there could be somebody here that says, yeah, I know what he's telling me is right. I know what the Bible says is right, but I'm just not ready now. Just not today. There's a great danger in turning the Lord away if he speaks to your heart about salvation. I want you to turn to the book of Acts. I guess the greatest example of a man turning the Lord away is found in Acts chapter 24. And there's no better illustration than Bible illustrations. So you know there's great danger in a Christian delaying to obey, but there's even greater danger for the lost man or the lost woman to say no to Christ when he talks and speaks to their heart about being saved. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world does it mean to be saved? I hear Christians talking about this. What does it mean to be saved? Well, when we trust Christ as Savior, we're saved from something. We're saved from an eternity in the lake of fire. That's what we're saved from. That's what it means to be saved. How does one get saved? By simply calling on the Savior, asking Christ to save you, believing He will. Are you in Acts 24? Look at verse 24. Here's an example of a man who was just mere feet away from the Apostle Paul. And if there was ever a soul winner in the world, it was Paul. Everywhere Paul went, he was preaching the gospel. He gets a chance to stand before a man named Felix. Felix was the governor of that province. And Felix sends for Paul. They bring Paul out of prison. And Felix says to Paul, all right, make your case. I'm listening. Verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning, what did he hear? The faith in Christ. That's the message of salvation. Verse 25, and he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. See the next two words? Felix trembled. You know what he's doing there, folks? He's under conviction right there. Felix heard Paul preach, and Paul said, you know, God's going to judge the world, and all those who are lost are going to be cut off. And Felix knew that God had gotten his number. Have you ever been so frightened that you literally shake? You may have been that afraid. Literally tremble. That's what Felix did. Here you have a governor, the highest official in the land, and he is literally shaking with conviction and fear. He knows that he's condemned. He knows he ought to be saved. He knows Paul's telling the truth. But look at Felix's answer in verse 25. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. For this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what that's called? That's called putting it off. Felix said to Paul, you're right, I know what you're saying, but not now. And you read the rest of the scriptures, and you never read where Felix ever come to faith in Jesus Christ. As far as the Bible tells us, Felix right now is in hell, and he's had about 2,000 years now to regret the fact that he said not now to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a tragic thing? Amen. For a man to be so close to salvation, and yet now he's separated from God forever. It may be your story this morning. It may be you. If you don't come to Christ right now, in a million years from today, you're going to remember saying no. You're going to remember saying to the Holy Spirit, not today, not now. You're going to remember, but it'll be too late. That verse we started with, Hebrews, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I've never done this in a sermon before, so you have to bear with us, but I'm going to try a tag team approach here. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Vaughn related to me a story that personally happened to him. For those of you who know Brother Vaughn, for the visitor's sake, I'll tell you, Brother Vaughn owns an insurance company. And he's been in the insurance business for a number of years now. And he related to me just a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, what I've asked him to come and share with you this morning. And if you've ever listened to anything, listen to what he's going to share with you. I asked him to share it because it's his story. He was there. He could do a much better job than I could. And it's on this very issue of someone knowing they need something, but saying, not now. Brother, come on and share this with us. And ask the Lord to keep you focused on this, folks. You Christians, you pray now that God would use the illustration that Brother Vaughn's going to give us to speak to somebody's heart here.
Thank you, Pastor Ingram, for letting me share this story with you and the congregation here. Before I start my story, he was talking about people being asked to do something and say no. And now, Pastor asked me to become a deacon. I went and prayed about it and thought about it. Pat and I prayed together about it. And I told him, I said, you know, I got to do this because the Lord asked me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I became a deacon, because it wasn't just because Pastor asked me to do it, because of God that asked me to do it.
Right.
And I said, I couldn't say no to Him.
Amen.
And I just couldn't do that. And the many blessings He has given me that I received by doing the job here I'm doing.
Right.
Just a blessing. I'm up here speaking today. I've never been able to do it before much. But God gave me the strength to be able to talk to you today about this story I'm going to tell you. I had a call about 15 years ago. A lady called me up. She was buying a craft shop down in Holmes County Way. And so she needed property coverage and liability. So I worked up a quote for her. And I called her up and told her what it was. And she said, that sounds good. So I'll be in next week and sign the application. That week came and she never showed up. I gave her a call. Oh, I forgot to call you. I need to reschedule. I said, okay. And we set a time up. That time came, she never showed up. I called her again, she said, well, I got to reschedule. Something else came up, I have to do that. She did that three times. She never came in to sign her application. The fourth time she called me, she was crying and sobbing. She was really upset. I said, what's the matter? She said, the place just burned down. He said, I have insurance tonight? I said, no. You do not. You did not sign your applications. I lost $50,000. I said, man, I'm sure sorry. I said, but I cannot buy coverage unless you sign the application. That's just the way it is. I don't own the company. I own the agency. I got to go by their rules. You got to sign an application. I was going to give her the pen, and it took her just a half an hour. I go through some questions. The sign up, he's not going to bond coverage right there in the spot that day she was in here. But she says, no, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I was talking to Pastor Ingram that, and I says, you know, that'd be a good message. And he said it would be to convey that to when the Lord's calling you to accept Him as Lord,
right.
Do you have time to sign your application today?
Yeah. Right.
I think it's really need to be. Don't take it off. It's too. She lost $50,000. It was very, very bad for me to do that. That probably ruined her financially. But if you don't sign your application with the Lord today, you can lose eternity.
Yeah.
That's really worse off. Right. And somebody's asking you to accept the Lord today. Today is the best time today to do that right now. Right today, to sign the application, take your pen out, and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Because we're all sinners, and we need the Lord in our life every day. And I pray every day. I thank the Lord every day for Him being in my life.
Amen.
They give me the life I've had, being here at True Baptist Church. Give me the strength to talk to you people here today. It's wonderful. And I was truly blessed when I accepted the position of deacon here in the church. I have a lot more blessings than I was ever able to give out. I receive more blessings for doing that. So, Pastor, just let me to be that this morning. And it's a blessing to let me tell you that story. So, the moral story is, don't put it off today. Sign your application to the Lord, because you're going to lose a whole lot more than $50,000. Like I lady does, you didn't sign her come in. They sign up and came so I could buy coverage for her.
Right.
So, accept the Lord today, and if Pastor called up to me, please come.
Well, I appreciate that. When I heard that, I knew immediately that this was a sermon that needed to be made known. Now, we're going to close here. I know you've been patient. When I heard that story, I thought about that dear woman on the phone weeping. She just lost everything. Lost her business, lost all the stock she had in her antique shop, lost it all. And she called him and said, but you knew I was going to get that policy. I fully intended on getting coverage with your company. And he said, your intentions don't matter. You had to sign the policy.
Amen.
You know what we do when we ask you to come to Christ? What we're doing as preachers and teachers, we're saying, here's the insurance policy here. You got it in writing, all right? The Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the policy. When we ask you to come and trust Christ, we're giving you the pen. We're saying, here's the pen. The pen is your faith. The policy is God's Word. He's the underwriter. The fire's coming. You going to be covered? Are you? If your life were to be over now, open your eyes in hell, what are you going to say? Lord, you knew I was going to come. I was going to get saved. I was going to accept you as my Savior. And then the Lord looks on the books. Your name's not there. Mine's there. 8-year-old boy, I came signed up. I said, I need this coverage. Maybe you haven't. Be a terrible thing, folks, for you to die and go to hell, and you're this close to salvation. I'll leave you with this verse. Jesus said to them in Matthew 7, they were standing there at the gate. Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And they said to him, they said, Lord, but didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And didn't we do this in your name and that in your name? We did all this, and the Lord said, you never trusted in me. I don't know who you are. You never signed the policy. The fire's coming. The eternal lake of fire's coming. I can tell you now with all the assurance in my heart, and I give the Lord the glory for it, I can tell you I'll never feel any of it. I'll never experience the fires of God's wrath. I never will. Because I trusted the one who took for me the wrath of God on Calvary. You intend to do it someday? Do it today. Christians, you intend to serve the Lord someday? Do it today. If God's asked you to do something, do it today. Let's pray together.